Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, March 27th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are lower this morning. May corn futures down 4.25 at 4:28 and a quarter. May soybeans down 5.75 at 11.93 and a quarter. May Chicago wheat down 3.25 at 5:40 and a quarter. May Kansas City wheat down 3.5 at 5.73 and three quarters. May spring wheat down 1 at 6:46 and a quarter. We had a ton of questions come in regarding this bridge collapse yesterday, so let's start there.
Shipping costs are expected to increase due to the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse in Baltimore. The bridge collapsed early on Tuesday morning when a cargo ship lost power and hit a bridge pylon. According to the American Trucking Association, the bridge's collapse will cause 4,900 trucks per day to be rerouted. As a result, shippers will incur additional costs, which will eventually be passed on to consumers. Baltimore serves as the main entry point for large agricultural and construction equipment, with planting season right around the corner. The bridge's collapse is expected to have a significant economic impact on the farming industry.
So this is a tragedy, of course, loss of life. I have no idea what happened. I don't think anybody else does either. In any case, is there any impact on the futures markets or on the cash markets? Probably not. There were some exports, ag exports, raw commodity exports that went out of this port, some meat products, prepared grocery items, poultry, some soybeans. But USDA said, I believe, that this was like the 29th largest port in the country when it comes to ag products. So I don't really see much of an impact here. The impact, if there is one, is going to be on this machinery piece. And I feel like most of the big farm implements that are going to be used this spring are probably already on the farm. Maybe not, though. So maybe there's an impact there. Maybe there's some fertilizer implications. I heard a few things in that regard. But when it comes to, you know, the corn market, the soybean market, the wheat market, I think this is kind of a non-issue. If you guys know differently, let me know. But that's what we know about it as of this morning.
Rain and snow fell across many areas of the U.S. Corn Belt during the last several days. Totals ranged from 1 inch to 2.5 inches in parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Missouri. A great deal of Iowa and Minnesota in particular have been plagued by drought, so the moisture is definitely welcome. Overnight lows hit the teens in parts of U.S. HRW wheat country, while below freezing overnight temperatures are not totally abnormal this time of year. A mild winter and minimal snowpack in some areas could cause concern for wheat growers.
Let's go back to the rainfall totals. So this moisture in this system has come and gone. The radar is very much blank this morning, but this was a really good deal and welcome for the areas that caught the rains. A lot of Iowa, a lot of southern Minnesota, a lot of Wisconsin, a lot of Illinois, a lot of Missouri caught this stuff. It wasn't everywhere. That really, really dry pocket in northeast Iowa could have done a little bit better. Some of those areas caught 1 inch up to 2 inches, but absolutely welcome. And a lot of this, of course, was in the form of snow, which is still on the ground, I believe. So very, very much welcome. As it relates to the wheat situation, it got cold in Kansas last night, down into the teens, I think, in some areas. Further north in Nebraska, I think it got down to like 10, 11 degrees in some areas. This is an old graphic from Kansas State in one of their research pieces. And in late March, like, they're kind of saying you could get down to 15, 20 degrees without any major impact. I just wonder if it's any different this year because of the winter that we've had and maybe lack of snowpack in some areas. If you guys have any opinions or thoughts on that, let me know. The wheat market very clearly does not care about this situation at all.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some of the recent videos you put together?
Jim Urio was on yesterday. We did Macro Tuesday because the calendar has been kind of strange. We usually do Macro Friday. We spent a lot of time recently talking about the stewardship of the currency, meaning the powers that be who control what happens with the U.S. dollar, the creation of new dollars, inflation, the easing that we most certainly have coming this summer. What does it mean for prices of assets, everything from the stock market to gold, to interest rates, to maybe even commodities. There's a lot of interesting stuff in here that the mainstream media just absolutely does not talk about because it's way too damn scary. But Jim and I did kind of a deep dive into this yesterday and hit it from a number of different angles. On Monday, I did a new crop grain marketing review, everything I've advised for corn, soybeans, and wheat, and the kind of targets and things that I'm looking at moving forward. I believe that most of you guys, if you're growing corn, soybeans, wheat, would benefit from simplicity in your grain marketing. And that is what I try to provide. We're very, very clear. I'm very, very clear about what I advise, when I advised it, what our fill prices were, what our averages are, all of that stuff. It's the most transparent approach to marketing and tracking marketing that you're going to find out there. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Premium subs are what float the boat for us. This is the reason that we're able to get up early and do the podcast and the YouTube videos every morning. So if you're a premium sub, we love you to death. If you're not, you should give it a shot. Sign up this morning. I'll forward you a copy of this morning's email.
USDA will release its annual prospective plantings report tomorrow morning. Ahead of the report, traders estimate U.S. corn acreage at 91.8 million, down sharply from 94.6 million last year. U.S. soybean acreage is expected to rise sharply to 86.5 million from 83.6 million last year. Stocks of U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat are expected to be larger compared to the same period last year.
So yesterday I gave you my rant on why this report is useless and why USDA would like to get rid of it, that sort of thing. Let's look at it through a different lens today. So here's your corn-soybean ratio, which absolutely favors more soybean acres. And this is more soybean acres versus last year is really the way this should be explained, not necessarily more than corn. So yeah, we're going to see an increase in soybean acreage versus last year, a decrease in corn acreage versus last year. You're going to see something that resembles like more normal, like a 92 in corn, like an 86 and a half in soybeans. That would be more normal. Last year when you had 94.6 in corn, that was abnormally high corn acreage. So I think we're going to kind of revert to the mean this year, the way that it looks. The ratios don't mean everything. I think most farmers look at different things. I don't think this is really what moves the needle for most farmers. Farmers are looking at, you know, crop rotation. They're looking at on-farm profitability, more the microeconomic stuff. And the margins suck. I mean, they plain suck. There's not a lot of money to be made in either crop this year. It varies depending on the location, of course. Grain stocks should be up across the board versus a year ago. Corn stocks are going to be up or projected to be up, estimated to be up 14% versus the same period last year. As of March 1st, soybean stocks up 8.5%, wheat stocks up 11%. Those are the guesses ahead of tomorrow's report. Very clearly, it looks to me like there's some selling pressure ahead of the report. You also got to remember tomorrow is month end, quarter end, and a big report, and we're ahead of a three-day weekend. So be prepared for some volatility here the next today and tomorrow, I guess.
Export prices for Russian wheat increased for the second consecutive week last week. Global markets and the possibility of exports setting a new record for March help support prices. Russian agricultural consultancy Sovacon raised its estimate for Russian wheat exports this month by about 4% to 5 million tons. That's up from 4.8 million tons last year. The consultancy also raised its projection for this season's wheat crop to 94 million metric tons, up from 92.8 million metric tons last season, according to the country's Ministry of Agriculture. The pace of spring planting in Russia is twice as fast as last year due to favorable conditions.
So second week in a row, prices are up, and we've talked about this at length. This is one of the big reasons why wheat has been unable to rally is because Russia is so much cheaper than what we can offer. And that continues to be the case. The wheat market sucks. I mean, you pull up a wheat chart. This is the July Kansas City chart, and it's been unable to hold a rally. You'll have these rallies that last maybe 3, 4, 5 days max, and then it just falls apart again. And that's kind of what we saw here recently. We saw a little rally attempt, and then we gave it all back here the last couple of days. So the wheat market's in bad shape.
The Federal Reserve recorded its largest operating loss ever in 2023. The Fed's expenses exceeded its earnings by $114.3 billion last year. Increased interest rates caused the Fed's interest expenses to almost triple to $281.1 billion. At the same time, the Fed's interest revenue from its asset portfolio came in at $163.8 billion, down about 3.5% from 2022. The Fed pays interest on reserves it holds for banks. This generated massive earnings for the agency in recent years when rates were near zero. However, the opposite occurred when the Fed began raising rates in 2022. Last year, a record $176.8 billion in interest was paid to banks for reserves held at the Fed, almost triple the amount paid back in 2022.
This could be one of the reasons that the Fed wants to cut, maybe not so publicly, but this is not, it's not good, but it's not a disaster either. I mean, you see every other year the Fed has positive net income, and then 2023 was a big outlier. And 2024 is probably going to look pretty similar to this. So they're going to have a couple of years where they have operating losses. And is that the end of the world? No. If this were $400 or $500 billion, then that would be a big deal, I think, but we're not quite there yet. But again, there's a lot of concerns regarding the currency. We talked about this with Jim in kind of a more broad fashion yesterday. What did cattle do yesterday?
They fell out of bed. Feeders closed an average of $4.48 lower. Live cattle closed an average of $3.22 lower. Box beef was mixed on Tuesday. Choice ended the day at $3.1109. That was up 20 cents. Select ended the day $1.70 lower to close at $300.26.
Ugly stuff. Outside markets this morning, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are up. The S&P is up 22. Dow's up 160. Bonds are flat. Crude oil is down 59 cents. And the May WTI at 81.03. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Thursday.